This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And this is the show where we talk about the latest in science fiction and fantasy news, discuss the books we are currently reading, and see what you guys are up to in the forums on Goodreads.com.
And I got to hurry up because my wife needs the podcasting studio.
What?
She does a show called Bite Club. It's all about vampires and zombies and stuff.
No buzz marketing your wife's podcast on our show, okay?
But we stole the What Are We Drinking segment from her.
We did?
Kind of did.
Oh, well, what are you
drinking? That's how they start. If you listen to this week's Bite Club, you'll hear the same wine. 2010 Peachy Canyon Zinfandel Incredible Red.
Wait, 2010 Peachy Canyon Zinfandel Incredible Red.
It's a Paso Robles, California wine, and I can't say I love it.
No?
It's a little fruity for me.
Peachy Canyon. I just like saying Peachy Canyon.
Peachy Canyon. And neither one of us can remember where it came from. Who bought this wine? I don't know. I thought you bought it.
Well, I should be drinking a lovely wine right now. A very nice lady named Amanda gave me a bottle of wine at a Geek Media Expo, but I couldn't bring it back with me because I only had carry-on luggage, so I shipped it.
Okay, so it hasn't arrived yet.
It will still
I got my first shipment from Lot 18
today. Yay!
Because I got a credit because you referred me and I spent the credit and the wine came in. We'd already opened the Peachy Canyon when the wine arrived. I was like, oh, too bad.
I also got my wine because I had a credit that was expiring, so I felt pressured to use it.
That's Lot 18, by the way. I got the email. They're like, you got this credit for signing up from Veronica Belmont, so you need to use it before it expires.
I'm
like,
really? Yeah. That fast? You just signed up.
I know. They only give you a week.
Oh, that's
on
weird.
The signing credit.
So Lot 18 is this is totally off topic, and I apologize. No. I know those two guys in the forums that hate it when we do this segment are like really pissed off right now.
Just forward another 10, 20 seconds and we'll be done.
Lot 18 is a great website. They are not a sponsor of this show. I have no affiliation with them whatsoever, but it is an awesome way to order wine. And I'm going to put my referral link in the show notes so you guys can give me referral money for booze, and you will order some and you will enjoy it. Darn it.
Put my referral link.
I'm going to put my... No, that's not fair. I turned you on to this. Anyway, I need all the monies for the wines that I'm not drinking right now. But anyway...
We should do some quick burns, huh?
We should do some quick burns. I was just about to get to that.
So J.R.R. Tolkien had a flop.
Oh,
many
really?
Of you may have heard of it. It was called The Hobbit.
Oh, well,
the BBC. I think we're going to see a lot of these kinds of Hobbit Tolkien related stories as we get closer to December and the release of the movie. BBC has a story about a letter from Tolkien to Swallows and Amazon's writer Arthur Ransom revealing his concerns about sales for The Hobbit. He said that he would send a revised edition if there is a reprint, adding, "Sales are not very great." So,
wow.
Hobbit wasn't looking too good right out the gate.
This is fun. The letter from J.R.R. Tolkien said, "Dear Mr. Ransom, I'm sure Mr. Baggins would agree in words such as he used to Thorin to have been fancied by you that is more than any Hobbit could have expected." But apparently, so he liked it. He just was recognizing that maybe it wasn't doing so well.
Yeah, and he talks in the letter as if he were translating a story. He's Dr. Alaric Hall from the University of Leeds says he's slipping into a kind of fantasy as if he's writing about a real world as he loves doing. It's part of his humor, and I guess he thought that Arthur Ransom was going to enjoy it and get his joke. Tolkien, huge nerd.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, he spent much of his time translating old Icelandic texts. He's a big
if you
language
didn't
nerd.
Know it already, now you do. and they have a link to the actual scan of the letter, which is held in the Leeds Brotherton Library. But I mean, you can't imagine these days that anything Tolkien did, because they sell like scraps of letters mm-hmm. as, you know, compiled into books now. To think of The Hobbit is like, it's not selling that well. That's just insane.
Well, I bought it last night on Kindle, so it's still going strong.
When we read it in December, I am going to pull out my 25th anniversary edition that I got when I was in high school mm-hmm. and read it old school again.
So our next story is actually not coming up online right now because, and this is kind of funny, all of Gawker's servers are actually located in New York, and the servers right. are going down because of Hurricane Sandy, but I actually know what the story is about. It's that second breakfast is being served at Denny's, and it's actually happening. Yeah. This is a thing.
And this is Io9. They're a Gawker site.
Yeah.
These are just regular Denny's meals, though. Like, I'm not sure I'm okay with Peter Jackson allowing this to happen. I mean, if you're going to have somebody do second breakfast and
like
do Hobbit meals,
bread or something.
You really should get somebody to do like Hobbit meals, not like, oh, it's usually called Moons Over My Hammy, but now it's Gandalf's breakfast. Like, I don't know. This smacks of the worst kind of merchandising to me.
Well, it's kind of cute in a way. Like, I don't hate it.
Really?
But they should have done maybe a little better job. Well, it's Denny's, Tom. What do
exactly.
you want? Exactly. Denny's. What did you expect?
Like, IHOP would do better than this.
This is
Come
like
on.
People getting mad at Taco Bell. This is like the whole Taco Bell stolen base thing.
Don't believe me. I know about the whole stolen base thing. My thing is not about it being Denny's. To me, Denny's is a thing. And I actually enjoy it. I have a Denny's mug that I stole from a Denny's in Pennsylvania once. But I don't want
these
them
things
to
I learn
call,
about you.
I don't want to call it a Hobbit breakfast.
Criminal.
If it's not a Hobbit breakfast.
Well, just like, if Hobbits are around now, they might be having it. Denny's for breakfast. You don't know. You don't know what hobbits would be eating now. I mean, you don't know.
Elevenses at Denny's? Come on.
Maybe.
Rashers
anyway.
Of bacon.
Rashers of bacon. I have to say, our production coordinator for the video show, Suzanne, is a phenomenal cook. And she is she's got some pretty big ideas for the Hobbitses episodes of the video show.
We are so lucky to work with so many people who love all of the things we're doing mm-hmm. because, you know, from Fonco designing the set and saying, can we please give you a dragon, to Suzanne saying, oh, you're interviewing George R. R. Martin. Well, I need to make trenchers for you.
Trenchers. You made us trenchers, you know? Which is basically like a delicious, like, stew inside bread bowls.
Yeah.
Well, I think the trenchers are the bread bowls.
That's the best thing ever.
It was so, oh my God, it was delicious. We were actually eating them during filming, like on set. I can't just sit here and look at this.
Okay, I've got the trenchers. This is way cool. Like, I'll just take a bite to be, oh my God, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
I have to eat all of it now.
So yeah, we can't wait to show you that stuff too. If you don't know, and if you want to start reading ahead, The Hobbit is going to be our book pick for December because of the film coming out.
Right.
So we've been pretty good with the tie-ins recently. I mean, it's kind of coincidental, but it's just there's been some great movies coming out. We'll talk more about that later, though. But first, Neal Stephenson did a talk at the University of Washington Law School. There was a panel discussion, and he was talking about REAMD. There were cyber lawyers and security experts from the computer science department, all sorts of people who are experts in these fields. And I think it's really cool because he has such great insight. He doesn't just write things, he learns them like top down.
Yeah.
And so it's always fascinating to hear him talk about this kind of stuff.
He does a deep dive and he wants to make sure he knows something. I mean, mm-hmm. that's why the Baroque cycle is so thick, so long, and to me, so enjoyable, because everything in it is drawn from historical evidence. Granted, Neal Stephenson, as far as we know, did not have a time machine and go back to the time of Isaac Newton, but you would almost think he did. from the research that he has poured into that.
Maybe
and the
his
same
time
thing
machine
has
is powered by a treadmill.
That's actually where he's diverting the Clang Kickstarter funds into his time machine. I get it now. He needs fuel. But yeah, he does not do anything halfway. This is an hour and 46 minutes. So you don't need to watch it, I would say. You could just have it on and listen to it, you know, and do something else with your hands necessarily, even though it is a YouTube video, because the video is just them sitting around talking. But fascinating stuff. And great discussion with lawyers getting like serious about the concepts that he presented there. Really, really cool.
Speaking of similar kind of stuff, I just finished Year Zero by Rob Reed.
Oh, finally.
And,
okay.
I really enjoyed it. It was just fantastic.
Did you listen to the Hodgman Red one?
I did. And he did a great job. And
I almost don't appreciate. I mean, I do appreciate, but I almost don't appreciate getting the advanced copy from Rob Reed because I was too excited not to read it at the time. And so I read it ahead of time, but now I'm like, oh, I wish I would have waited to hear the Hodgman thing. But on the other hand, I guess the positive spin is I can read it again and experience it in a whole new way and get John Hodgman reading it to me.
He did, and I just have to say his just total knowledge of the music industry and how it works and of all the
Rob Reed's.
And Hodgman probably too, but mostly
well,
Rob Reed.
Maybe.
He is the one who wrote it after all. It just totally comes through, and it's there. You learn a lot over the course of reading the book, or at least I did. And it's just absolutely hilarious too, and all the pop culture references that are inside of it too. World of Warcraft references. It was just a really, really fun quick read from Rob Reed. So I suggest you read it. Or listen.
No, I can second that recommendation.
Awesome. Well, should we head over to the calendar, see what's coming up in the next couple of weeks? Oh, by the way, we will have a new website soon. I'm working on that. We were having some technical problems, and the Squarespace team has helped us fix those technical problems. And so I think we will be coming out with a newly designed website soon. So hopefully you guys
will. So we're migrating over to Squarespace 6.
We are in fact migrating.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I'm using that for my book website. And it is such an improvement.
Oh yeah.
On the content entry. It's just miles. They've done a great job upgrading their software.
Awesome. All right. Well, calendar wise, we have on the 29th, that is
today. That's what's happening right now.
You are experiencing the Sword and Laser podcast. But on October 30th, we have Krampus, the Yule Lord by Brom, and Iced, a Danny O'Malley novel by Karen Marie Moaning.
November 1st, All Saints Day, 2012, The Emperor's Soul by Brandon Sanderson. November 2nd, which is Day of the Dead, you get the Sword and Laser Book Club video kickoff of our November pick, The Dirty Streets of Heaven by Tad Williams. November 6th, 2012, Captain Vorpatril's Alliance, the Miles Vorkosigan novel by Lois McMaster Bujold, Flame of Seven Waters by Juliet Marillier, and The Cassandra Project by Jack McDevitt and Mike Resnick.
Yep.
Now, aren't you happy I decided to read November 6th?
Why? Because you had to say all the names.
Because of all those names.
I planned it that way. On November 9th, 2012, we have the Sword and Laser Video Guide to Robin Hobb. Yay! I was very excited about that. And she was just wonderful. And then on November 12th, we have the Sword and Laser podcast interview with David Gross and James Sutter, both writers in their own right. They've worked on a lot of different projects, but we will talk more about that in the future.
Hey, did you know that this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com?
Oh my God, are you going to read the ad?
They're the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Listeners of this podcast, though, listen, that's not the best part about it. You get to try them for free.
Oh, snap.
No risk, no compulsion, no like give us blood, firstborn, commit to a year of anything. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/sword, pick a free audiobook. Perhaps you would like to pick our November book, The Dirty Streets of Heaven by Tad Williams. It's out there. And I have to say, narrator George Newbern does a great job on delivering on that sort of film noir slash heaven aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that. So that's one. You can pick whatever you want, though. Audiblepodcast.com/sword. And you know what, Veronica? I'm feeling generous because I've had all this wine.
Oh.
Let's give them another free book.
Okay. Well, when you get your free book, don't forget to get a second free book at audible.com/Sanderson. Audible is giving away Brandon Sanderson's novella Legion for free. And if you want that book, there's no trial. You just get the book for free. That's if you get another one. It's audible.com/Sanderson, S-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, and download it today.
Two free books.
All the books.
Just for pressing play on whatever device you use to listen to this podcast.
That's all you have to do. All right. Well, now it's time for Bury Your Sword, which is our feedback from the audience. And a lot of you have seen Cloud Atlas. And there are thoughts to be had about this film.
I have not yet seen it.
What do you think?
Yeah. Rob kicked off the movie reviews thread on Goodreads, saying that early reviews are apparently pretty polarized.
Yes.
Tina said, Cloud Atlas made its big debut at the Toronto International Film Festival to a rousing chorus of, hell yes, and what the hell was that?
What just happened to me?
So we've got definitely mixed reviews. Jenny said it was too long, started feeling it 2 hours in, because it's 2 hours and 43 minutes.
Ooh, that is pretty funny.
Sandy said, on the one hand, I enjoyed it a lot more than the book. On the other hand, if I hadn't read the book, I would have been one of the many people I heard complaining about what a piece of crap the movie was. I have read the book. I went with my wife, who has not read the book. So I had a little A-B testing here. And we both pretty much agreed that it was almost amazing.
Almost amazing. Okay.
We felt that it dragged, like Jenny. We felt like it was a little too long, that it dragged in the middle. The way they handled telling the multiple stories, I thought was very clever. They did not follow the chronology of the book. They mix it up. I thought that having the multiple characters played by the same actors worked much better than I expected. Mm-hmm. I was never confused. I was never, and neither was Eileen, who hasn't read the book. But there was a point where I felt like they were missing the fun. They were missing the majesty. It wasn't moving me. And then when it got close to the end, they started wrapping up a few stories. This will be mildly spoilery if you haven't read the book. But if you have read the book, I'm going to say that when they wrapped up the Louisa Ray story, mm-hmm. and they wrapped up the Sonmi story especially, I was definitely moved. I was tears to my eyes. I felt like they're building to a crescendo. I'm like, okay, it was laggy. I was bored for a stretch, but maybe they're going to redeem themselves here because this is awesome. And then they finish up with Slusha's Crossing and they changed something important for me in the end of Slusha's Crossing, and it just let me down.
Hmm.
And I won't say what it was.
Oh, man. Now I really want to. Crap. All right.
But I was just like, okay. And I did not like the way they ended that. And because of that, it took the wind out of my sails. And I'm like, I think they missed it. And it's not any one thing. It's not even just that one thing at the end. But they got so close. They tried hard. They did great. It's a beautiful movie. The acting is insane. It's incredible how you can have Halle Berry, you can have Hugo Weaving, you can have Broadbent, you can have Hankson, roles that you don't even know that are them in some cases until the end. Because at the end, they do this credits thing where they show all the people they played. And there are a couple people you're like, what? That was that person? Oh my God.
Well, I think I'll know played that. Cause I've been following like the websites that have all the acting, all the casting for the different characters. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping I'll recognize them, or maybe not. Maybe it'll be fun to be surprised.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some surprises in there. Unless you've really studied up, but, overall, I don't know. I do think they made it into Sonmi's movie.
Okay, so she was the primary,
and that sort of fits, right? Because she is the penultimate story, and she is the kind of the goddess of the Slusha's Crossing story. So I see what they're doing there, and they kind of have everything point towards her story. At least that was my interpretation. Not everybody may think that, and I don't think that was a bad choice. But I don't know. There's a little of the Matrix in it, and there's a little of the Matrix Revolution in it, if you know what I mean.
All right. So I definitely want to know what the rest of you out there thought of the film. I'm hopefully going to see it this week, maybe even tomorrow. I'm still very excited about it. Do you think this is a film that you have to see in the theater? Is it one that can wait to be rented?
I think you probably should.
In the renting?
You probably should see it in the theater, because the best thing about it is how it looks. And it's going to be so much more majestic up on a big screen. That said, if you can't make it to see it because it's 2 hours and 43 minutes and you're hearing these sort of tepid reviews and you watch it at home, it's probably okay. You're mm-hmm. still going to get the movie. But to me, it's sort of like, well, if I get to choose, I'm going to choose the theater, because those sweeping vistas from New Zealand through neo-soul are so much more impressive up on a big screen.
All right. Well, that's a good review. Thank you. I'm still excited to see it, but I'll definitely be keeping an eye open now for some of the changes that are in there. I wanted to say one thing too. Congratulations, Tom.
Congratulations to you too.
I
think I know what you're congratulating me for.
We are now officially the largest group on Goodreads.
Yeah.
I think we may even be bigger than the librarians.
Groups.
Are
you sure? You don't sound sure. Should I gloat?
You can gloat. I mean, you can gloat no matter what, because that's not even a real book club. That's just like the librarians.
That's true. That's like that's moderators.
No, okay, we're not quite past the librarians. They're at 21.
But we're the biggest not organizational.
But we have passed Paranormal Romance and Urban Fantasy. Yeah! Finally!
You know
but
what?
You know who's hot on our heels?
Say,
you know who's hot on our heels? Vaginal Ooh. Fantasy.
Okay. I was going to say, I would like to thank Felicia Day and Vaginal Fantasy, because I feel like they helped steal people from Paranormal Romance and also shuttle people who are into Paranormal Romance into Sword and Laser mm-hmm. because you're on Vaginal Fantasy. So it all kinds of works together for our mutual benefit.
Yes. So congratulations to us. You guys are an awesome, amazing group with wonderful input, and you make this whole show possible. So thank you.
We also got nominated for a podcast award.
We did get nominated for a podcast award. I think we're in the arts and culture section, which is very
yes,
cool.
Yes, we are. That's why I'm drinking wine.
So culture-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
I put my pinky out.
I'm doing the same thing. No, actually, my pinky is to the corner of my mouth. Like $1 million.
Right.
Dollars.
Because we're so rich.
Yes. So that's awesome. So yeah, good day all around. So let's do a little book check-in. I guess we're not really in a book right now. We're kind of.
I am reading a book.
Are you reading a book?
Can I tell you about the book I'm reading?
You may.
I have an interim book between the two books.
I do as well.
What are you reading?
I just finished Captain's Fury, which is book 4 in the Codex Alera by Jim Butcher.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to move on to our next book pick, because I don't want to get behind, though.
You're not going to read Cold Days?
Oh, yeah, maybe I should do that. I don't know. I'm sucked into a series now.
Yeah, I get you. I think I have been sucked into starting a new series, because I can't imagine. I'm not quite done. I can't imagine that this is the end of this book. I'm reading Isles of the Forsaken by Carolyn Ives Gilman, which I don't recall how it was recommended to me. And if it was someone on Goodreads or email, I apologize that I don't remember. But I know that someone said, if you're really into the history of the British Empire and you like fantasy, read this book, because it's an analog of that in a fantasy world. And I put it in my Goodreads to read forum, and I just grabbed it recently. And it is very good, but also very familiar.
Oh, fun.
Part of me is like, I don't know if I want to read another one of these kind of books where it's like, here's the magical system of the world with the different geography, and this is how it works here. But it is a very good allegory, and the system is very cool. There are people called Lashnura, who are also the gray people, who take on the pain of other people. To keep them alive and keep them healed. And they only live in the Forsaken Isles. And the Innings are sort of your British Empire analog. And they're coming in trying to change the culture and bring law to the Forsaken Isles and civilize it, which is driving out the Lashnura, which means that the people who actually benefit from Dota, which is the Lashnura's little I'll take your pain magic, won't live as long. And it's this great tension of like, well, on the one hand, yes, civilization, that's great, and laws that people can live with. On the other hand, I'm going to die sooner. I'm not sure about this deal. And so there's a revolution in place, and there's an inning that's hooked up with a Lashnura and a forbidden romance and all this sort of stuff. And it follows a very traditional fantasy storyline, but in a really cool setting with really interesting characters that I've never seen before.
That sounds great. That does sound something like it would be right up your alley.
Yeah.
So I just finished that book in the Alera Codex, Codex Alera, and I loved it. And I'm really excited to keep going with that series. But yeah, you're right. There are other Jim Butcher picks to look at. And
what's the Codex Alera about?
It's kind of hard to. Well, it's not that hard to explain. It's another. It's a fantasy world. It has to do mm-hmm. with a culture that is actually very kind of based off of Rome in a lot of ways. They take a lot of cues from their language, and it is almost like it is an alternate universe where there was a Rome and then things totally changed. And there's these the people have powers through furies, which are these almost like elemental agents. And they can control different furies, like the water furies, air furies, and it's a long explanation. And I'm probably not going to do it justice, but it deals with the story of Tavi, who is a young boy whose furies never materialized, and so that almost makes him like a freak in their culture. That almost never happens.
It almost reminds me of His Dark Materials a little bit, huh?
A little bit, yeah. That's a very good point. And it's been wonderful. It's a great story. It definitely has a Jim Butcher feel to it while still being different from, of course, the Dresden Files, because it's not urban fantasy, obviously. It's definitely a fantastical story.
Dresden doesn't show up to solve a missing fury crime.
No, but I love it. And I know there's a lot of people out there who have read it as well. And they're probably like, why are you not explaining this better? And it's like, because my brain isn't working anymore because I'm exhausted. Sorry.
And that's the truth.
I feel like I went to Geek Media Expo this weekend, met a lot of you there, and it was fun, but I am just traveled out right now and my brain is fried. And I shot shows today.
Now, the November pick is Dirty Streets of Heaven by Tad Williams. Fantastic book. We'll kick it off on the video show formally on Friday. Obviously, a lot of people in the forums have already started reading it. In fact, there was a thread about pushing it as the Tad Williams. We haven't read Tad Williams and we should read Dirty Streets of Heaven. So I think a lot of people have already started reading it. I will admit I'm almost near the end. Should we share some secret thoughts? No spoilers, but secret thoughts for the audio podcast folks?
Because they haven't started reading it yet, so I don't want to spoil anything.
Those of
them.
You who haven't read it, we don't want to spoil it, but I do have to say I adore Bobby Dollar by the end of the book. At the beginning, I was like, okay, film, I'm into noir. Mm-hmm. I love a good detective novel. So I was in at the beginning, but I wasn't sure how I felt about Bobby Dollar per se, right? Because I don't really love Sam Spade necessarily. He's a great character, but I don't love Bobby Dollar. I'm just like, dude, I want to have a beer with that man or angel rather.
Yeah, it's a fun book for sure. I feel like I said something to you at the recording of the video show that maybe didn't stay true. I think I wasn't having enough fun with it.
Yeah, you expressed a little reservation and I never followed up on that.
Oh, you know, I don't want to get into it. I want to definitely save this
for the wrap up.
But
does it relate to other Tad Williams novels you've read or
no,
is it just no. No, okay.
No, I did have fun reading it. And I did really enjoy it and I'm curious to see where the rest of the series goes. If he does in fact. I mean, it's supposed to be a trilogy, but I don't think it was it was to be determined kind of. I mean, nothing is set in stone about the rest of the books, but I'm assuming it's going to continue to be a trilogy.
You know, one thing that we when we talk about in the kickoff, we talk about the fact that there's this sort of extra area of the San Francisco Bay Area that's more interesting to us because we live here. I had forgotten until after we had that conversation. Cloud Atlas also does the same thing.
You're right. Oh my gosh, you're totally right.
In a different way. What Ted Williams does is he takes the South Bay and kind of mirrors it into the North Bay and changes it. It makes it a different place. But in Cloud Atlas, you have that merging of L.A. and San Francisco in this entirely imaginary city that's halfway between them.
Well, is that... Yeah, I guess that's what it is. What was the name of that city? I can't remember. It was like Yerba...
Was it Yerba Buena?
I don't think so. It was something different. Because
Yerba Buena is the real name of San Francisco before they changed it to Mission San Francisco.
It
was Yerba
now.
Something, though.
I know. I feel like it definitely was Yerba something. I'm going to look on the Wikipedia
page
and find it.
Buenos
Yerbas. Buenos Yerbas.
Buenos Yerbas. That's right. It struck me afterwards because I started to get confused because I started to think about, I think it was when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, right, because they're in San Francisco in the movie. I'm like, oh, but in the book it was, and then all of a sudden I'm like, just like Dirty Streets of Heaven. They've got a different spin
on
the
Bay Area. Kind of. Yeah.
Why can't people just let the Bay Area be? Why do they have to change?
It's a good place. It's okay. We won the World Series.
Home of the champion San Francisco Giants.
Thank you. Yeah. Go Giants.
Are you excited about reading The Hobbit or seeing?
It's been so long since I've read it. I'm really looking forward to diving into it again, and I'm super excited for the film too. So I think it'll be a great, great kind of like, you know, holiday season read. I'm gonna probably start it soon, maybe tonight even. I downloaded it yesterday, so
I've got to finish Dirty Streets first.
I'm ready to get going.
And we apologize, people. We know we have to record the videos ahead of time because of the shooting schedule mm-hmm. that we're on. And so we are not in sync with you necessarily all the time.
Not literally in sync with you.
But that doesn't mean you can read at your own pace too. Mm-hmm. You know, the posts will always be there for you to watch and enjoy.
Absolutely.
And I'm probably going to finish Dirty Streets and then I'm going to start reading The Hobbit. And I want to, that's one of the reasons I want to finish Isles of the Forsaken is because that's the print book that I'm reading and I'm going to read The Hobbit in print and in actual print. Isles of the Forsaken I'm reading on my Nexus 7. I'm going to read The Hobbit in a good old fashioned piece of paper book.
Well, if people want to buy the paperback version of Isles of the Forsaken, they better get on that because there's only 17 copies left.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No kidding. Get the ebook then.
You must have kicked something off there.
No, I'm reading the print version of The Hobbit because I already have it.
Okay. Hey, you know what this week is? You know what Thursday is? You know what Thursday is? You know what Thursday is?
Thursday.
NaNoWriMo.
It's November 1st. You're right.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe we're doing this again.
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready either. And in fact, I was talking about my idea with Ryan, my husband, today, and I was just like, this is ambitious, and I don't know if I can do that.
Well, we have to take our own advice and just say, look, NaNoWriMo is about no more excuses. You just write, and it doesn't matter what you write. So on November 1st, I'm going to make myself sit down and just pound out
I'm going to write, but the problem is my idea is like a hard sci-fi story. And so I need to actually like do research.
No,
learn
you don't.
What the stuff I'm talking about.
You pound out the words and you put in tech.
I put in you just TK.
Like, physics, and you go and you research that stuff and you fill it in later.
I can really do that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what NaNoWriMo is all about. It's like, no, all that hard work, you just get your story down and then the physics of how the stuff works, you just fill that in later.
Oh, well, that makes me feel a lot better. Gosh, between all the writers, all the writers we've talked to and you pushing me forward with this. I feel like I'm going to succeed NaNoWriMo every year just because of pure peer pressure.
Well, I have to say, I've succeeded now 3 years in a row, and part of the reason is having other folks like you doing it as well, because you start to feel like, oh, well, they're doing it, so I better keep doing it too.
We
all got to support each other.
You know who's really good at the peer pressure?
Who?
Josh Lawrence.
I know. I think Lawrence has pushed me like 2 years in a row.
Yeah, he was on me last year, and he was really good. He would send emails and be like, how's it going? What are you doing? You writing?
I know. How are you doing? What's your word count?
Word count.
In a good way.
I'm so competitive. I'm so freaking competitive. That's one of the reasons I think I succeeded, was because I could not. Every time I looked at your word count and you were ahead of me, I was like, blah! Write faster, Belmont! Yeah, I know. Well, should we read an email?
Yes, let's do.
Okay. This one comes from Craig in Pennsylvania. Hopefully you are high and dry right now. Hey, yes. Guys, I love your show. Can't wait for the Robin Hobb interview. Will that be on the YouTube webcast and the audio podcast? Nope, just YouTube. I read Live Ship, Tawny Man, Farseer, and the new Rainwild series. I had to Lem the Soldier Son. It was way too slow and a little boring, and I didn't like the protagonist at all. Craig, to be fair, I only got through the first... I can't even remember if I finished the whole series. I think I only read the first two because I kind of felt the same way. Mm-hmm. He goes on. Anyway, I'm really writing today about the email below. You guys are going to be in the money for all the books you have bought from Amazon. I've had a Kindle for around 3 years, and I'm always disappointed about the pricing. The electronic version of a book should always be less than the hardback, paperback, but that is not always so. It looks like some publishers are finally trying to put an end to the extreme pricing. What do you think? Then he has his author wish list, Scott Lynch of The Gentleman Bastards, Brent Weeks, Lightbringer, Peter V. Brett, from Demon War. We had Scott Lynch on the very first episode of the video show. He was our first author interview.
Yeah.
So you can go check that out if you missed it.
And he wants to know if the YouTube podcast is ever going to go to iTunes. We can't for the first year. Mm-hmm. Because YouTube has an exclusive on it because they commissioned it. But we can talk about after a year, we could then take the audio of it and put it out if it's not too dated.
Yeah, well, we'd have to figure out too because a lot of you have already listened or watched it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to overlap too much content, but we'll definitely make it available on the website. I mean, I can just start putting up
the video. We'll do something.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
For sure.
But the email he's talking about is that Amazon sent around a note about a week ago saying that a lot of people are entitled to credit for some of the past ebook purchases they made as a result of legal settlements between several major ebook publishers and the attorney general of most U.S. states and territories, including yours. So if you're in one of those states, you may be getting some money back. Apparently, Hachette, HarperCollins, and Simon & Schuster have settled an antitrust lawsuit about ebook prices. I've never said H-A-C-H-E-T-T-E out loud before.
I think Hachette. That's right.
Okay. Under the proposed settlements, the publishers will provide funds for a credit that will be applied directly to your Amazon.com account. If the court approves the settlements, the account credit will appear automatically and can be used to purchase Kindle books or print books. So that's pretty cool. They say it'll range between 30 cents to $1.30 for every eligible Kindle book that you purchase between April 2010 and May 2012. Or alternately, you can request a check in the amount of your credit by following the instructions that they send along. So
now,
that is,
here's what's interesting about this. The settlement is not done with all the publishers yet. Amazon fought against this, but they lost. Apple is taking the Department of Justice to court, and so is one other publisher. I think it's Penguin as part of that case. So Amazon has to do this because there has been a settlement from these publishers. So these publishers have to refund money and they have to refund it through Amazon.
So what you're saying is Amazon is not being nice to do this.
Well, no, Amazon's kind of forced to do it and they're not fighting back. Amazon was also not named in the suit. Apple was named in the suit and Apple is not laying down. They're fighting back saying, no, we want to be able to price the books however we want to price them. There's a big fight over who gets the money and who gets to set the prices right now. Mm. The old model was a bookstore paid a certain amount per book, and then they could sell the book for whatever price they wanted. There was a suggested retail price on the book, as you know, but they could discount that. That's why Barnes & Noble stores always have these, 50% off. The new model with ebooks is the publishers say, we're not cool with that anymore because Amazon was pricing them too low. We want to set the price at retail and then just give the ebook retailer a cut of that. And that's what the Department of Justice says you can't do anymore. Mm. And Apple is saying, no, that's not the way we work. We take 30% and the publisher sets the price and that's the way we want it to be.
That's good insight. So hopefully maybe some of you will start seeing some money going into your account. I haven't noticed anything myself.
No, I've got this email, but I haven't seen any money yet. So we'll see when the money actually starts flowing. Because Amazon's not going to pay this money back unless they absolutely are sure they have to.
They can handle it.
But they had to send this email. So that's why you got it.
All right. Well, very cool. And we will try to get some of your other requested authors on the show at some point as well. All right. Well, that's all we have tonight. It is Halloween week, so I hope everyone has a wonderful Halloween and stays safe. And hopefully all of you are safe and warm and dry if you're on the East Coast and going through Sandy right now. Our thoughts are obviously with you, and hopefully everything will be okay. I have lots of family and friends over that way as well. So, you know, it's a crappy situation to be in, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. So hopefully all of you guys will be okay and dry and reading a nice book indoors. Scary stuff, huh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Second everything you said, and make it through safe and dry.
Yeah. All right, that's it. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is feedback@swordandlaser.com. The website is swordandlaser.com, hopefully up and running, all shiny and new this week. All of our discussions happen over on goodreads.com, and you can get in touch with us by calling 415-7-SWORD-6. We'll see you next time. Go Giants!
Bye. Woo!